You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Wallow!
The Gullah Sessions with Otto and JC.
What the fuck?
Yeah, that's a swear word.
Alright guys, yo. Welcome back to Wallow, the Gullah Sessions with Otto and JC. JC, who are we talking to next?
Well, if you are listening, Moonji, I love you so much. We have creative extraordinaire Moonji. Basically, she is a aerospace engineer by day, talented creative by night, amazing DJ, beautiful model, talented fashion designer. I'm hyping you up. Let's bring it up for Moonji.
Well, before we get into that,
how
do you guys know each other?
Oh my gosh, wait, I've explained it in the interview today, but hey, so to summarize it, we've known each other from this event that Converse sent us back 2 years ago to work with Tyler the Creator on some showcasing some of our creative art, music, projects, what, etc. And I encountered her there as she was just making her little mix for the closing party. And before that, literally me and her bonded through a lot of music.
So Tyler the Creator brought you guys together.
Basically, and the Converse community really pulled through of that project, like all funded, like everyone treating us like celebrities. She was amazing. She was like a big sister who like really told me the ropes of fashion and being embraceable of like as an Asian creative. So like shout out to you, Moonji, for bringing me into the ropes of that.
Yeah. And so we're going to play that interview that you guys did while she was all the way in Malaysia.
Yeah.
Right.
I miss you, girl. If you're listening, I miss you.
Anyway, here's that chat with Moonji.
So, can you please introduce yourself to us?
Hey, guys. I am Moonji. I am a aircraft engineer by day and a creative around the clock, mainly focusing on DJing, fashion styling, and also creating a safe space for everyone to be at.
Sweet as. And it's, again, so good to hear from you again after so long. It's been two years since we have spoken. So can you tell us how have you been in the last 2 years since I've last heard from you?
A lot has been happening. After the Sydney trip, it had created a lot of opportunity for me, not only locally, but also like internationally. I had been playing in Jakarta, Thailand, Singapore, and like I am planning to go elsewhere also, maybe next year. And I've been supporting local acts and like local events here, and also creating my own event. I did a new one earlier this year in collaboration with the All-Star community, which is called Night Shift, and also continuously organizing one of my own events called Mural, which I run with my friends also, and at the same time balancing work as an engineer. So a lot has been happening, but right now I am actually taking a short break from all of that to just center myself and get back to the optimum level of myself.
I actually did not know you were an aircraft engineer. I only just knew you as like a DJ. So it's pretty cool that you have other talents that not many people might not know of.
Yeah. I mean, like the engineering side is basically just, you're in an Asian family, so you kind of have to have that career also while you do other stuff. And for me, I choose engineering. And yeah, my parents were happy about that, and because of that, they kind of let me do my creative work.
That kind of leads into my first question, which is, how do you manage to balance out both engineering and your DJ / like music work?
To be honest, I still haven't found the best way to like tell people like, oh, this is how you balance it and this is how I manage it and or anything, because there are times where I have to sacrifice one thing instead of the other, because I work in shift. You know, there are times where I work night shift, evening shift, and morning shift. And when I'm doing night shift, I can't accept Friday night work. Or if I am in morning shift, I can't really take like Saturday night. And there are times where I would actually take leave and go to another country to perform. And it differs depending on the situation that I have to work on, because being a creative, you know, like there's no specific time for you to do your work. You know, whenever you find free time, you just kind of have to insert it there and make time to commit to the things that you do on the creative side. But being an engineer, you have that set of hours and you just have to work around it. And for me, I just have to go with the flow and what is happening during that time. It's somehow like an escapism from one thing, you know, because when I am so stressed out from engineering, I would just go to my creative side. And if music or fashion or any of that in the creative side is very stressful for me and I get like creative blocks or and all, I just go to the engineering side and find something that I could inspire myself from working as an engineer and adapt it into the creative side and vice versa. So that's how I've been navigating it, and somehow it works with me. So yeah.
Sorry, I feel like I need to also say this because like I get that as well. When you don't have a specific set time when you start creating or just creating in general, so I really relate to that because we need to work as creatives. Like we have to find ways to like provide and invest as well.
Yeah, you don't have a set time, and then there are times where you don't really want to get up to, you know, open your computer or like just scroll through your phone, and you just kind of just want to shut down. But as a creative, you don't really have that leisure. You know, there are times where if you don't do anything, you just got to stop there. And that's when, you know, as a creative, you feel guilty that you're not doing anything for yourself. And yeah, it's a lot of like, yeah, it takes a lot of your mental capacity to kind of like push yourself as a creative.
And that kind of also leads to my next question. When we both did Converse, your mental capacity, is it now changed since then? Like, has it now like increased, decreased? Where is it at now when you're creating your mental capacity?
Of course, it's continuously like improving and it's expanding, because I'm at the stage where I want to do things for myself and also for the community. It's actually mostly for the community. I want to help the people that need my support, and what's best to do it with, like, by sharing the knowledge that I have from the trip that I had, you know, with Converse and, you know, the people that I meet, people that I've met there. I brought it back and then I share it with anybody that asks me about my experience or what I'm doing and so on. So I'm really at that space where I am learning and I'm also sharing what I've learned. So it's a back and forth of just expanding my knowledge towards what I already know, you know, as a creative. So I feel like it's also because of the age also for me, because like I'm also slowing down on wanting to go to like a very high energy event. You know, I would still go, but it's mostly to just support and have fun in my own ways, instead of, you know, just going and drinking and passing out and just not remember anything the next day. I want to experience things that are more wholesome for myself and for the people around me.
Yeah, and I totally get that. And I also like wanted to ask as well, when you mentioned like you want to do all the stuff for the community, we have like an audience here in Auckland. Wanted to ask for your opinion on like, when you as a Southeast Asian artist, do you feel like there's something that needs to be done in terms of more representation of Southeast Asian artists, fashion designers, fashion models?
Yeah, I think before we could even focus on us representing ourselves as a Southeast Asian artist, it's also important for you to also establish yourself locally first. Because as much as you could grow further as like, you know, as a Southeast Asian artist in other countries, it's also important for you to kind of establish something for yourself locally first. Because I'm pretty sure each country have their own struggle in terms of even to represent themselves in their own country. You know, getting recognized in your own country is also very difficult. Like for me, I actually have more shows outside Malaysia compared to locally, you know, getting gigs here locally. And that is because the community don't really appreciate each other, or it's not that they don't appreciate each other, they do, they just don't really collaborate with each other. And for me, if you want to really present yourself as a good Southeast Asian artist, is you have your own community supporting you too. But I feel like you don't really get that. You don't really see that, you know. It's always other country appreciating your artist instead of your own people, which is why I always remind people, and like which I always try to encourage my own friends to just support each other, support your local first before you want to, you know, go to a bigger scale. Because it gives me like a bitter taste when I went to Sydney and when I came back and only people just kind of like, oh, Munji, you know, like I've been supporting you, I've been seeing you from afar. Like, no, you haven't. You haven't. And you only realize me when I'm outside, you know. You only knew of me, or you only realize I am your friend, or I'm associated with you because I went and met Tyler and so on. So I think that's one thing where we struggle, is we don't support each other enough. We rather support those that are non-Southeast Asian artists more than we do for ourselves.
No, and honestly though, like that's so true, because again, you are definitely right about how in each country they have certain struggles of representation. And right now, I believe Southeast Asian or Asian artists and creatives alone are being not looked upon a lot. So that's why like that response is really good for me to relate to as another Southeast Asian artist, like that's kind of like growing here in Aotearoa, New Zealand. So once again, I also wanted to ask you about the Converse thing as well, because I wanted to ask you like how that experience has brought you upon like how you represent yourself, because like you said something about they see you now after that event, right? And I want to know how you feel about that certain fame or like that certain like spotlighting into your work now. Like how do you feel like how you've been treated like that when you were working so hard to get recognized, and to now like you have that recognition? Like how do you feel about that?
Honestly, there is a pros and cons to it, you know. Like the pros is that I do get like a great opportunity, but the cons is that I realized that the people around me were very performative, and most of them are business friends, you know. They are not the friends that I thought would support me as how I would supported them. And it's sad. It really does give that feeling that you're not being appreciated well. Because like I started from being behind the camera as a fashion stylist. Like I'm not in front of the camera, which is why like the spotlight was like, okay, you know, it's new to me, because it means like, you know, when I decided to be a DJ, it means that I have to be in front of the camera, or I have to be in front of something. It's not me being a part of like, you know, someone that was like behind the scene. And when I started, I was going through a lot of things that people would just treat me like, okay, you know, like Muji decided to leave this collective because of this, and they're like, yeah, it's not something that we should take serious of. And only when I've gotten that spotlight, and then they're like, oh, you know, maybe we should actually listen to what she says, or maybe we should actually kind of realize what she was trying to fight for, and so on. And it's like, there are times where I really don't know how to process it, because it really does give you the reality of how the world works, you know. It's not something like we, like, you know how Tyler tells us that he tries to stay connected to his inner child to appreciate what he does as a creative, as an artist. That's how he's able to create. And when you try to connect to your inner child, you also have that thinking where everybody around you is good, because that's how the kids see it. You don't really see someone and like, or you're a bad person and all these things, you know. They give the benefit of the doubt and all that. And I did that, but the reality is not like that. So it's actually very, very difficult. It's very, very contradicting to when I say like, oh, there are people supporting me, but actually, are they really? You know? And like that whole year of after that trip, I was that person that like, hey, you're the girl that met Tyler. And it took me a while to like, yes, I am that girl that met Tyler. And into someone like, oh, Muji, you're the one that, you know, you DJ, you're a great DJ, or like you do this great party and all this thing.
Yeah. Honestly, like I again relate to that because I experienced the exact same thing after that trip as well. Because now everyone knows us as you're that one who met Tyler the Creator 2 years ago. So it has that, I guess, that like, again, that spotlighting effect on us now. So again, one last question, because we do have to wrap up a bit. So in terms of you not just being an artist, but you're also doing a lot of like fashion related projects, do you see any upcoming events that would feel that you need more representation in, like for example in the fashion industry?
I feel like brands should really stay true to what they say about reaching into the grassroots of the community, because we were a part of a brand that says those, and I do want to see the local team really reach out and spread out to other creative and not only focusing on a certain individuals or a certain platform, because there's so many other creative that you just didn't seek out or you just didn't make your enough research about, you know. There are so many undiscovered talent that you haven't discovered because of so many other creative that had already have a platform, that had already kind of like not really hype, but that has just kind of covered your eyesight, you know. I just hope that brands do their research, their due diligence research on other creative and reaching out and growing that community. If you really, really do want to grow the community and help the community, stay true to what you're saying. Just reach out and give other creative more platform and more opportunities, because I think that all those that are undiscovered are much more talented than those that are already discovered. Because in KL, I love to go to this place called Pono. It's like an intimate, small space that a lot of creative love to come and listen to music. And I do meet with a lot of creative that are doing so many things that I couldn't think of. And I just feel like, wait, why are you not doing this? Why are you not, you know, why haven't you done anything? And it's always the problem of not being given the platform or not given the opportunity.
Sick. And thank you again so much for coming in to share your response to that as well. But before, I wanted to throw a little bit of a curveball question just to wrap things up. Is there any other like events that you'd want us to promote or share around that you're involved in that we want to champion and be aware of?
For me, I think there's actually so many events that are happening, but a lot of events that are happening here are like a one-off event. And I do have my own event called Muro. It's a women and non-binary only party that is encouraging a safe space partying. And we do want to evolve more, and I do want to start more events that would encourage more safe space partying. But for now, I think I would promote that space where I mentioned before, which is Fono, F-O-N-O. They are run by a group of creatives that are very, very honest, and they're very, very genuine with their love for music and for the things that they do. Yeah, and like any artists that are involved with that venue, whether it's being, you know, DJs or graphic designers or copywriters that are involved in that space, they are the people that I trust that could make a very, very huge impact and a difference to the industry in Malaysia.
And that was our interview with Munchi.
Oh my gosh, I love
that so
much.
What do you think of what she had to say?
Sorry, say that again?
What do you think of what she had to say?
I pretty much said most of it when I interviewed her, when I had to hear what she had to go through when she went back from Sydney to, like, Kuala Lumpur. So, like, I'm, again, proud of her from what she's achieved in the last 2 years. And hearing her say that she had to struggle to, like, actually get the laptop out is honestly what a lot of creatives go through. And hearing her say it as well means a lot to me, because it's like a personal thing to hear, especially from a friend, because not many people will say that, oh, I'm struggling, but they are struggling to get something done creatively.
And the thing I found particularly impactful about what she was saying is that the key to representing Southeast Asian artists is for those artists to first establish a home base and become semi-successful locally. But that also means, you know, supporting your local artists and being more aware of what's going on in your scene. And you know, she's applying that context in Malaysia, but I think that's also something we could definitely you know, apply and adhere to here in Aotearoa, New Zealand, you know. Just, you know, if you're an Asian musician or a creative, you know, and you want to hear more Asian voices or see more Asian musicians out there, you know, connect with other Asian musicians and find out, you know, which creatives are active in the scene.
Yeah. And like, again, this whole show champions that as well. Like, we created the show for, I guess, to champion that space to get you guys involved as well and connect each other. My goodness, we wouldn't have been able to figure out a lot of these artists without the guests that come into the show as well.
The guests that come into the show, people who've reached out to us, you know. I mean, you're a very popular guy, you know.
Stop it.
We have been able to connect with a lot more people because of this show, which is really amazing.
And we are proud of that as well. And we really appreciate those who tune in every Monday as well.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Anyway, we have more tracks to play with
we
you.
We do.
But yeah. And if you do want to chat with us through text or call us in, you can chat with us via text at 5.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.